pleased that you could join us again. I know last time we had you on, I think it was about two segments. So we're going to do what our best to kind of maximize our time today and get through it. The final rankings are done. I guess before we get too far into it, and I don't want you to go too far into detail, but getting to this point, you, your staff, all of your scouts from around, literally around the globe, how do you find a way to get to a consensus or close to it in putting together your top 30 and, in fact, your entire draft guide?
Well, we compile the information all year, and it's a consistent debate the whole season, and it culminates this time of year. There's a lot more discussions and a lot more debates, and sometimes it's easy, and other times it can be a little bit tedious, and some choice words are shared, but it's a fun process, and it helps us create a list that we're all pretty comfortable with by the end, and a draft guide that we're proud of.
You have Sam Reinhart as the International Scouting Service, their number one ranked prospect for the upcoming draft. I guess rather than talk about why Reinhart is there, I think it's very well documented. He's the CHL player of all of this. The scoring, we saw it here firsthand in round one of the WHL playoffs, just what he can do. How close was he to not being the number one prospect?
We were pretty much split in how we argue this, and pretty much all year round. But it was those two guys, Ekblad and Reinhart, all season as to who should be number one. And at this point, it really is almost a 1A and 1B. It is that close. The difference is marginal, and it really depends on the time of day, I think, that you ask a certain scout with our organization as to who the number one guy is. Obviously, there's always that debate between a forward and a defenseman at the start of the year, and most people are more comfortable with a forward in that number one spot than they are a defenseman. That being said, you really could switch them, and you really could kind of have this conversation either way.
I want to ask you about Leon Draisaitl, because I know we've heard a lot and we've talked a lot about Aaron Ekblad, and certainly we know a fair amount about Sam Reinhart. With Draisaitl, he's the bigger center of the group that's available. He's 6'1" and change, over 200 pounds. I know last time we talked, we picked comparables, and maybe it's a Joe Thornton-ish type of a player, maybe more defensive, not as a prolific offensive skill. But you have him at 6. Why is, it seems like based on skill, he should be higher. Why is Draisaitl at 6?
Really just the inconsistencies that we saw in his game this year. He is an extremely creative playmaker. He is probably one of the best passers in the entire draft. But he really still strikes you as that boom or bust type of player. There's just elements of his game that bring up some red flags here or there. Now, we are talking about an 18-year-old kid, and we had these same issues with Ryan Getzlaff. We had these same issues last year with Nichushkin. So there's a lot of potential there. But there is also that fear of, okay, am I getting the guy that's able to play like a Ryan Getzlaff, Joe Thornton, or am I getting the guy that's going to be inconsistent and frustrating and difficult to adapt to the next level? So when we talk about these kids, there is always that little fear, and you do kind of need to make sure that everyone knows about the little fears in these young men in their game, so that they can make a proper judgment call on whether or not they're comfortable with that element of risk. I mean, every one of these kids has a certain element of risk associated with adding them to the organization, and his is he can mesmerize you with his skill, but he can also be frustrating at times when he's not putting in the effort.
Leon Draisaitl, he is we'll strip it to the bare bones for those that aren't that familiar. He's 18. He is from Germany. He's spent 2 years in Canada with the Prince Albert Raiders, and you even mix in his inconsistencies, and it was still a 105 point season in 64 games for a second-year junior player. It's pretty impressive. And like you say, boom or bust, how much of this is just, and it sounds disrespectful, but how much of this is living in Prince Albert, the travel that goes hand-in-hand with the Western Hockey League, and the fact that he's still relatively new to North America and to living in Canada?
I wouldn't say that there's a whole lot of that. I mean, the fact that he's over here and he's played 2 years really sort of speaks to the fact that he's willing to adapt, and that he has ambitions to play in the National Hockey League, and that's his primary goal. That's what he wants to do. He's made sacrifices to do that. I think that ends up working more for him than against him, and the fact that he's done so well. I mean, you talk about 67 assists this year, an assist per game in the Western Hockey League this year. That's impressive stuff, and it's hard to ignore because it's typically not an easy league to have dominant offensive numbers like that. So all of that stuff, I think, works for him. There are certain players that you can definitely hold it against them, but with him, I think he's already silenced the critics on a lot of those things.
Chatting with Ross McLean with the International Scouting Service, the final rankings have been released from the ISS. You can find them on their website, isshockey.com. And like we said earlier, if you're really into this, and I'm guessing a lot of Flames fans might be, with five picks in the first three rounds, at least projected to be that, for $100, you can download the entire draft guide. We use it religiously here with our draft, not only our research, but when we are at the draft table and doing our live shows, and we always appreciate you for coming through with that, Ross. Sam Bennett continues to be a name we hear a lot here in Calgary. The smallish, but yet grit. We talked with Rob Ray earlier in the show, and he brought up Bennett's name, the guy who seems to have the most grit. Can you overrate grit? Do you worry sometimes that what you see in junior as a compete level, how much do you want to, I guess if you had like a pie chart or whatever, where do you rank their skill, their size, there's in the intangibles of grit, I suppose, or the willingness to compete? How much are we drafting Sam Bennett on those, I guess, intangibles, if you will, that heart, compete, grit, as opposed to the size and skill?
The heart, the character, the grit, those are things that you like in young men, but they're not necessarily things that translate with every single player to the next level. I mean, when we look at Bennett, he's got a fairly slight frame. There's not a lot of room for him to bulk up. He's always going to be sort of that smaller, slighter player. He's around 6 feet. He's got extreme skill. He can really mesmerize you with the puck. But the fact of the matter is that he plays a certain way. He likes to try and take the puck to the middle of the ice. He goes at players, and you add just the fact that players are going to be that much bigger, that much stronger, that much meaner, and they're also going to match that grit and that toughness. And that heart, it creates those concerns. And with him, those are the concerns. But whether or not he can actually play the style of game that makes him successful at junior, can he continue to play that at the next level with those physical limitations? That's a really difficult thing to project. And this is a kid that's gonna have some issues with that. And when we talk about the attention that he got from the combine and the fact that he has very little upper body strength.
Yeah.
Obviously, these are things that you can work on, and you know, it is nice to see that a player that can be this good and still has some elements like that that you can work on and get better at. That's almost an appealing thing that works more for him than against him. But at the same point, it speaks to those vulnerabilities. It speaks to that level of maybe durability at the next level that is already a concern for teams. So that's the major issue with Sam Bennett. The skill is there. The way he plays the game is a type that fans can really get behind. That really helps teams, and we see teams that are successful have players in his makeup and his mold on the roster. And it's going to be really interesting to see what happens with him, because the gamble with him really is that, you know, maybe he doesn't quite have the physical makeup to do what he does at the next level.
Jake Virtanen of the Calgary Hitmen, he has been highly touted from the time he was bantam age. He is your number 7 prospect on this list. Now, we know that he's had the shoulder surgery and all of that. Has that kept him a little bit lower on your rankings? And again, I'm not looking to throw anybody's name. I know Craig Button with TSN, he's done a list. He has him at the 43 spot. And I don't know why that would necessarily be, but he just doesn't feel like he's going to translate into a bonafide scoring NHL player. You see it differently. What does the shoulder injury mean for his ranking right now, and what kind of future do you see him having?
I don't think anybody's drafting Virtanen with the hopes of him being in their lineup next year. I think he's one of those guys that's 2-3 years away from playing at the NHL level. But I believe in this draft he is one of the best pure goal-scoring potential players in the entire draft. And there are lots of teams that, that covet that, and they covet that after just outside of that elite group at the top. And so I think Vertanen is going to be a hot commodity once you get out of the top five. And it's really difficult to find a guy that can shoot the puck as well as he can already. I mean, this kid's got a pro shot already. And there's lots of teams that would love to take this guy and put them with some established playmakers already. He's a kid that could probably hit the ground running in a couple of years as he continues to physically mature and develop more power. He's an extremely powerful player already. There's no question that he's going to continue to grow that way. So there's a lot of exciting potential with him, and once you get into that 5 to 10 range, he's worth taking a risk on. He's worth getting into your organization and putting your development people on and really turning him into that potential sniper that is really hard to find. Goals are what win games.
I guess last one for you, and it's really, it might be a tough one for you off the top of your head, but I'm just thinking of someone whose stock has risen the most during the near the end of the season, whether it's because they're a late birthday and they have started to catch up with some of the other players who might be 3, 4, 6 months older than they are. Because it's scary, right? It's okay, you had the final from January on, you were terrific. Now, is that just a couple good months? Is this translating in who you're going to be? I look at a guy like Michael Dalcol. He's your number three guy. He's kind of slipped through and has become a top three prospect for you. But who has been the highest riser, and who do you think that maybe if the season ends in August instead of April, might be even higher than they are right now?
I don't think there's any question. Right off the top of my head, our number 30 prospect right now is Travis Sanheim, another Calgary Hitmen player.
Right.
I don't think any player has improved from the turn of the calendar in January to now as much as he has. And the development that he's shown, and I'm lucky I got to see him a lot this year and watch it happen. I don't remember a player getting that much better in such a short period of time in most of the drafts that I've covered. And I think if we continued on, we saw him at under 18, he was exceptional there. He was very, very strong for the Calgary Hitmen towards the end of the year, and he's got a lot of the things that people like. You see this big frame, he moves very well, he has some offensive instincts, he's willing to try things, he can do a little bit of everything pretty well. So this is a guy, again, that I think, as you said, if the season ended in August, this could be a kid that we see in the sort of 10 to 12 range in the draft, and we possibly still could, because their teams definitely saw that and know that this is a guy that's going to continue trend upwards and could be significantly better by the time October, November rolls around and everyone's looking and saying, how is this kid taken as low as he was in the draft? So I think that's definitely a guy that people should circle his name and say and track where he goes in the draft, because there's some real potential with what to do with him.
I know we're the better part of three and a half weeks away, which is relatively close, but I have a feeling we might be ringing your phone one more time at least before now and the start of the podium march in Philadelphia. Great, always great with your time, man. I appreciate you coming through on short notice, and we'll do it again soon. Thanks again.
My pleasure, anytime.
You bet. There's Ross McLean with the ISS. You can check out their website, isshockey.com.